Hello, everyone, and welcome to Changing the Frame. We're your hosts. My name is Indigo Corris, and my pronouns are she and her.
My name is Leo Torre, and my pronouns are he, him. We are a podcast that discusses trans and non-binary experiences in the film industries. Every episode will count with the appearance of trans and or non-binary multimedia artists in the film industries to talk about their work. We're really excited to share these amazing talks and discussions with you all.
In today's episode, we are joined by our lovely guest, Jessica Bainbridge, an aspiring camera operator based in Brighton, East Sussex, London and Cumbria. She has done work with My Generation Films, filmed Brighton Trans Pride, and been a camera trainee for the stand-up sketch show series on ITV2, now available on ITVX.
This is Changing the Frame. Hello, Jessica. Thank you for joining us today. If you would like to start by telling us about yourself and your background, that would be lovely, please.
Yeah, hello. My name's Jessica Bainbridge. In the industry, I kind of flip-flop between being a runner and a camera assistant between jobs. Some of my jobs have included as a camera assistant on the stand-up sketch show. I've done a lot of advertising work, live event, stuff with My Generation, run by a group of trans people, Fox Fisher, Al Fisher, Lewis Hancock. Runner Rise, I've done stuff for Night Coppers for Channel 4. I've done location marshalling for Film 4 on an upcoming Olivia Colman film, Wicked Little Letters, kind of a variety of everything and just dart around everything. A lot of short films at the moment.
So we were just wondering, like, what made you pursue camera operator work and what roadblocks did you face or are you still facing by starting it out?
So I came from a very like countryside background. So immediately there's a lot of restriction put on that, and the upbringing you have where I'm from, productions very, very rarely came to the community I grew up in and still very, very rarely do. But more prominent now, some bigger projects like Star Wars and that came to film in that area. So it's gained a little more interest over time. But yeah, when I was growing up, I mean, when you're not like at school or like after school clubs, there's not really much you can do. So a lot of it is getting immersed in like movies and watching TV. And just very early on, that just kind of clicked with me. And that made me interested in like being part of the camera team from like watching Doctor Who Confidential, because I was a big Doctor Who fan, still am. So I'd watch that show and just like immediately from like age like 5, 6, be like, oh, I want to do that kind of thing. But yeah, obviously growing up in that kind of environment, you're very much getting everyone around you telling you, oh, it's a, even people that don't know the industry, like, oh, it's a very tight-knit club. It's very hard to get in. How are you going to do that? You don't have the cameras. You don't have the access. So I ended up going to college in my area, just doing like little like very like low scale little shorts. And then I wanted to take that further with film school. And luckily I went to a film school, screen and film school in Brighton, which is quite a few miles and hours away from where I grew up. So there was even more scares from people around me at that point being like, are you mad? Do you want to move to the from the top of England to the bottom of England and like throw all your chances on this? But I did it. So why not? And it was a good place to be. So yeah, I went and it was going all right. And then COVID happened. So that even more hit the brakes on like everything. But then luckily I was able to get like the odd project here and there. And obviously the more you build up, the more you get recognized. And luckily I've been building like a slow little like track record since.
Yeah, it's scary moving across the country for school, but I'm very glad it's working out because it's big stuff. And I feel like it's a chance to reinvent yourself as well a little bit because different place, different people.
Aye, absolutely. Because I was in the same, like the village I lived in is literally just like a line on a map. So like, it was a bit of a culture shock in the same way, like I'm used to like those small kind of communities and like Brighton doesn't feel like a city. It feels like a small, like community city with obviously like a lot going on and a good like media community here, which has been quite nice and a good way to like adapt. Cause like, I like visiting places like London and I like working in places like London, but right now that's not somewhere I would want to work, maybe live even. London is not somewhere I'd want to live currently. But maybe in the future. But right now I'm happy like being in Brighton, commuting to London, which has been another hurdle that some places have been like, oh, you're going to commute in all the time from Brighton to London. Put your faith in the trains, if they're running, if they're striking, if they're late. And I did that for stand-up sketch show, and it definitely knocks the wind out of you sometimes. But I was happy to do it and kept going with it and, yeah, enjoyed every minute of it.
So the stand-up sketch show is airing right now as of the date of recording this episode, and it's airing on ITV2. It's a show that takes the funniest routines by renowned and upcoming comedians to bring them to life in sketch form. And you've been involved in the creation of the series through several of the sketches as a camera trainee, is that right?
Yeah. I was on the show for about a month roughly, as I was attached to another show before it. But yeah, with that kind of show, it's one of the fastest moving shows I've been on, which has been a really great way to learn, because you're usually doing like two sketches a day or like two sketches and a bunch of pickups for some sketches. And like, they try to keep them as much as they can to like the same location or nearby location. But sometimes you're doing like half hour like commutes across the city to get to the next location. And it's all having to be done in like half a day, which is a really great way to learn, when especially when you're shooting so much coverage on that show, you're getting so many different angles. So it's a really great, funny environment on the set. It's a nice, really nice, tight-knit crew. It's quite a small crew. Like, we don't have a dedicated gaffer as like a camera assistant. You're also lumped into helping with the lighting. So like, you go into the DOP and you're like, okay, here's all our lights. We're mostly running on a stereo tube LED lights, which is a really great, like, streamlined way to work when you're using more, like, unconventional tube lights, when you'd normally have, like, bulkier Aoi lights most of the time on the set. So it's a really great way to learn about, like, the things you can do with those lights and take them into other projects. Like, I see them quite a bit on music videos. So as well as, like, learning with the camera, you're also learning with the lighting as well, which has been, like, a really interesting way to do it, because I haven't had to really do that before. So yeah, just a really nice, tiny crew, lovely, funny environment. And it keeps you on your feet. It really keeps you on your feet.
Nice. How was the process of getting this role like? And do you have any favorite sketches or special moments from set that you'd like to share with us?
I got really lucky because basically at the beginning of the year, I was working a full-time job and still trying to make a media rise. And I got really lucky with, at the beginning of the year, I like restructured my CV and got it emailed just to like every company I could find in like London, Brighton, East Sussex area. And I was just sending out this email to hundreds of places, curated to like all these different companies with my CV. Being like, I really love what you do with like these environmental films you do. I really love what you do with this TV show. And I got it sent to these three companies. And at the beginning of the year, they all reached out to express interest. And I hadn't met anyone from these companies. And one of them was Spirit Studios, which is the production team behind Stand Up Sketch Show. And they were pretty like confident in the emails. They were like, yeah, are you available for this project in January? And that project didn't work out in the end. But then they offered me this even bigger, longer term project. But also at the same time, I was offered another show, Night Coppers. And I got that offer first. So then when they came to me with Stand Up Sketch Show, it was like two jobs back to back, basically being offered and having to like schedule that, being like, I can give you this amount of weeks and then give this show this amount of weeks. So it came very quick and fast in like the least unexpected way, when you're usually told networking is the way, going to these events, knowing people in the industry. So it was quite like pleasantly surprising to like get all that from an email and quite like in a short span of time to be offered like these two TV shows and a few other little like projects.
That's really cool. And going into other projects that you've done, on the 5th of July, This Is Rare was released. Do you want to talk a little bit about the project? Because you made a 6-minute long film. Yeah, if you'd like to tell a little bit about the project and your involvement on the campaign, what was the filming process like?
Yeah, the This Is Rare project was a project with Sanofi, which is a charity that helps people with rare medical conditions and diseases. And they do this regular project where they have a choir of patients and people who have been supported by this charity. And I got involved again just through luck with emails being offered this project, which was, it was quite a daunting one because it's shown in Abbey Road Studios. So it's very, and it was like my first project of this year. So it was very much like kind of like, it was very much like you've been thrown like into like this iconic massive venue, which has meant so much. You're filming in Studio 2 where like the Beatles, Pink Floyd, all these major mega artists have recorded some of the most iconic albums of all time, literally Abbey Road, recorded in Abbey Road. And like when you're in there, you really feel like the history of it and like the pressure of it and the like, oh God, if I like scrape the tripod on the floor, they're going to charge me so much money to fix this. So you very much feel like, you feel the energy of like what has been there and like its importance when you're in there. At one point, I was like putting a camera lens on the camera and I was just tapping my foot to Blackbird and just like subconsciously, not even realizing I was doing it, Blackbird by the Beatles. Yeah, just doing that subconsciously and then like catching myself halfway through being like, I'm tapping Blackbird in Abbey Road right now. And then I watched the video back after the shoot and I was in like roughly the same area that Paul McCartney recorded the foot tapping for that song. So that was a bit like, oh, okay, this is fine. But yeah, it was a very quick turnaround, that shoot, because obviously you have a limited amount of time in Abbey Road and you've got a lot to get through and you want to try get as much as the iconicness of it as you can whilst also like capturing these performances. And it was really interesting to film because these artists, it was their first time like really doing this kind of singing. They had done like Zoom rehearsals, but they were not in the space, so like if no one really knew how it was gonna go based off like those Zoom auditions, but like watching it be played out, it was quite spectacular really. And like the presenters of the piece were even like, oh my gosh, they can sing. So it was really quite a sweet thing to capture, especially under like such a short frame of time, because we had to like record them rehearsing, we had to get vox pop interviews of them talking about the charity, how the conditions affected them, how great it is to be in Abbey Road recording this, and then you had to get them doing a clean performance of the song and recording that as a music video. And it's quite a lot to get done in such like a narrow frame of time, but I think it worked out really well in the end.
I really enjoyed This Is Rare. I watched it like 3 times after you sent it to us because it has such a nice community feeling to it. I don't know. I really enjoyed it. And talking about community, you told us that you were a camera operator for Brighton Trans Pride Parade March in 2022.
And this year, I just did this year's one on the Saturday of recording this. I've got a gnarly sunburn from it, but it was lovely. It was a really great time. Both times have been really great to do it. This year posed some more challenges because it was very last minute change, because we had a weather warning for wind and rain, but then it just never rained, but we still had to do the diverted route. And it was their highest attendance ender. It was their highest attendance this year by 10,000 more of last year. So last year was 20,000. This year, they think it was around 30,000. But it's just such a lovely thing to film as a trans person for obvious reasons. But just also as well, it's just a unique way to like see the event, thinking about like capturing that moment. Yeah, it's really like, oh my God, emotional. But yeah, it's just a really sweet event to be part of every year. And I'm lucky I've been able to film it.
I feel like queer documentation is one of the most beautiful things that can be done with filming. Like, all the fictionalized movies and everything that people make are amazing and great, but there's just something about filming things that are actually happening. So that is very exciting for you. I'm really happy it was nice and that it didn't rain this year as well. What is it like to film? Like, are you just kicking about with a camera, or just how does it go?
I mean, it's very much... Yeah, because obviously you're in a quick move in March, so you're having to like dart around, look like what will be interesting to capture, what will be great to capture right now. So it's very much a more thinking on the fly than most other live events. Like when you're doing something like a music shoot for like BBC Music, or when you're doing This Is Where, you've got like obviously lots of opportunity for angles, but it's a tighter knit amount of people. So even though you're under a time constraint of what's happening right now, and they're not going to do it again, you have more options. Meanwhile, when it's like a crowd of 30,000 people, you really have to be like, what's grabbing my eye right now? What will work really well? And also as well, you're getting like swept up in the atmosphere of it personally. It's like when I was growing up in my little countryside area, I'd never been to a pride or anything. When I moved down for film school, it was past the pride season in summer, so I wasn't able to be part of that. Then in the COVID years, that just didn't happen. And in 2021, one of my first media jobs when I was in Brighton was to be brought in and film their live stream event. I was reached out to someone in my film school being like, hey, I know like the organizers of Trans Pride Brighton who want to film the event, a live event for this year because they can't do it because of COVID. And I got on a Zoom with Fox and Al Fisher, who were helping to like obviously run Trans Pride as a live stream this year. We were first doing pre-recorded music for the show. So I arrived to film that. The person who actually invited me onto this production didn't turn up the entire day. So that's immediately like a good way to impress people is if you turn up compared to other people and actually do your job and do it well. But yeah, they were happy enough with what I filmed that they were like, come back for the live stream. And you can obviously feel from when you're there, everyone wishes that it was a live event this year, especially because like it was in like July. So like the kind of like COVID rain was coming to an end. So you can kind of feel that energy of like, we wish this was a natural march, but we can't. But it was still a really lovely thing to film, and it allowed me to continue working with Fox and Al Fisher. So eventually, finally, in 2022, I could finally go to like my first actual Pride events, which is really cool, really special. And to be able to do what I love there as well is a plus. So
you were also involved with like Pride events and campaigning. You were involved with the Bloomin' Wild Pride campaign, which was directed by Fox Fisher in 2022. I love that brand. This is not sponsored or anything. I just really like them and I get flowers from them all the time. So it really popped out to me from your CV, and I would like for you to tell us a little bit more about it.
Yeah, so after doing the 2021 live stream, they were like happy enough to keep having me back, luckily, and been able to be part of some special projects with them, mostly in, if you don't know My Generation, they're a filmmaking charity. So they like help make educational resources on trans people, sometimes for organizations, sometimes for just like YouTube. Sometimes they'll go in and do talks. They do everything. They're authors, they're public speakers. They do everything. And yeah, I'd be lucky to be able to be part of them a few times, mostly on like documentary work, a little bit of like fiction stuff, but mostly like documentary for places like Open University, for helping with medical training videos of like how GPs can communicate with trans people when they come in asking for help, to documenting specific members of the community. So far, like have really impactful stories to tell. And that eventually led to this Bloomin' Wild project for Pride last year. And yeah, we had major people in the community like Yasmin Benioff, who's a asexual rights public speaker. We had Lady Phil, who runs Black Pride. We had Fox be part of it. We had David Ames, who is an actor who was really big in soaps and medical shows in the UK. And that was a really lovely atmosphere to be part of. I was mostly filming the makeup videos of them getting ready for the shoot and a little bit of them like on the set as they're being shot. And some of my favorite visuals have come from that shoot because it's such lovely makeup work. The flower crowns look really gorgeous. The backdrops, they're just nice little like 1 minute reels really for social media, but they're really nice. They've got lovely stories in there about Pride heroes and who inspires this member of community. And yeah, just another nice project to be a part of. We did that right before my first like in-person Pride as well. So that was a nice little like, I don't know how to phrase it, introduction into the Pride world? I don't know. But it was a really nice like thing to be a part of before that.
Yeah, all those projects sound amazing. And Yeah, I really wanted to come to Trans Pride this past weekend, but it was Glasgow Pride, so, and I was DJing at it, so I had to stay in Glasgow. But next year, I definitely want to come to Trans Pride. Yeah, and like you said, you've been involved with My Generation in a few projects. Do you want to talk about some of those projects? Because I know they are incredible, and I've seen so much of My Generation's work.
Obviously, they do a lot of different projects. So I'm usually brought in like every other month to help with like a documentary or something here and there. The most recent one I've been a part of was recently kind of inaugurated in is they've had this project running for 10 years now called Life of Kai, which was following the life of this trans boy, now man, Kai.
Yeah, I remember watching the beginning of that series, yeah.
Yeah, it's still very much an ongoing series, which is like sort of reaching its conclusion now, because like the end goal of the documentary was to follow him up to top surgery. And when we were filming Trans Pride this year, another pressure that was added was the fact that like, as well as recording this big, like historic 10 years of Trans Pride event, we were also trying to catch Kai in those like 30,000 people and record segments of the documentary for that, which like it's a hard thing to do. And like, obviously there's 30,000 people. At one point, my camera assistant, Joe, lovely camera assistant, trans guy, really lovely guy. At one point he had like lost his phone or something and he just ran off and darted away from me. And I was just like, okay, so now I only have like one battery to work with and I've got to make it work. And if I catch Kai, I've also got to film him for the documentary. But somehow we were able to catch him. I was able to catch Fox somehow with Joe. I don't know how Joe even managed to make it to Fox. He apparently ran the whole thing. I don't even know how he managed to do that when we got split up at one point. But I somehow managed to catch them. And then we somehow managed to catch Kai. And then as I was filming Kai and also trying to get stuff for this, I was also running to people I knew personally and being like, oh, hello, hi, how are you? Quick hug, okay, bye. And it's just like, it was quite like a lot, but it was like really special because I'd met Kai to film a little segment beforehand where he was looking at footage from like one of the very first parts of his filming process from 10 years ago and seeing his sister's reaction. And that was also another incredibly emotional project to be on with them. And then to see Kai after he had his top surgery was really cool. And to be able to like document that on the fly whilst also being quite heavily sunburned and also trying to like film the crowd and like get a lot in there at once. But it was a really great thing to be a part of.
That's so lovely. One of your recently released projects would be the Wicked Little Letters feature film. I'm very excited about this one because I love a little comedy mystery film. Would you tell us more about your involvement in that one and what you were up to during the production of the film?
Yeah, Wicked Little Letters was my first major project, which was in October of last year. They were filming in Worthing, which is a lovely little seaside town, kind of like a mini Brighton. But like that has had quite a few like big name films filmed there. And yeah, this is a film for film with Olivia Colman and Jesse Buckley. It's based on a true story. It's a comedy drama mystery film. And I was on it as a location marshal, which is very much like a runner with extra steps. It also involves like local like security locking off location for filming, involves turning Worthing Pier into like a makeup wardrobe, hair studio, a catering area for the supporting actors, and just making it a go-to spot for like a good chunk of the crew when they're filming. And then to be part of like a major project like that, to like see the film involved, to be like the security basically as well, is a really interesting experience to be a part of. And the actors were really lovely. It was a lot of pressure because there was quite a bit of paparazzi action, and obviously there was a lot of like time constraints with how and where we were filming, because it's a very, very public space that we were suddenly dressing to look like the 1920s. So that's going to cause a lot of attention. And then you've got regular members of the public who are just trying to like enjoy the beach, and then suddenly we're going on the beach in 1920s dress filming shots, and then they're having to send me over the radio running up and down the beach to stop people walking down in their mountain warehouse because that's going to look odd on camera. So that was a really fun experience to be a part of, and my first real like taste of that kind of production, because at that point I'd mostly been used to like advertising or like borderline no budget documentary and like student short films. So to be part of like something like that, so soon after graduating, I graduated in July, and I was on that set in October. So that it was a nice short but really cool job to be a part of.
It sounds like all the jobs that you're doing are like very hands on and like running around and doing so many things.
Yeah, it's what this industry is. It's what this industry is, and like. Because like a lot of this industry, you're starting from like the runner position, and I've been kind of lucky that I've been able to like bounce around from like camera assistant to runner, and then maybe on some other projects. Like I did a shoot for BBC Music Introducing for Great Escape in Brighton last year, and I was basically a camera operator on that, and helping with like a small crew to set up this multi-camera shoot for that, and that was a really satisfying thing to be able to pull off on like such a like minimal crew, and we were given like very minimal direction. We were basically just told set up the cameras, send the producer the angle, and yeah.
So you have a very varied career in terms of like so many things that you've done and so many roles that you've done at the moment, and the content itself that you do, that you filmed, from like comedy TV shows, advertisements, awareness campaigns, Pride, like comedy mystery films, theater plays, so many things. Is there a particular direction that you would like to guide your career towards? Like, what else are you hoping to make in the future?
I mean, I like a bit of everything. And like in film school and that, you're told to like find your like one niche and stick with it. And so far, I've obviously been able to stick with the positions I want to be working in. But like genre-wise, I really enjoy like flip-flopping around a lot, and I've met quite a few people on set who have talked about like, yeah, so like a couple months ago I was on this reality show, and then I was on this like non-scripted documentary show, and now I'm on this fictional scripted show. And just like DOPs and camera operators who like they'll work on a scripted project, and then they'll work on like a round table type interview for socials, and then they'll work on like a music video. So in my end goal is camera operator, but like I don't know how much I want to like limit myself to be like I'm gonna work on only fiction. I'm quite interested in like jumping around and being part of different things and new experiences. It's like when I was growing up in the middle of nowhere, I didn't really have that, so I enjoyed the being like able to part of like a variety of stuff, especially when you're like trans as well and like living as someone else in that kind of community. It feels like you've not really like done anything and lived. Obviously I've done stuff, but it's not felt like myself and like the circumstances I want to be in. So it's cool to like be part of like all these different projects in different genres, because I've been inspired by so much in my growing up and being like, oh, I want to go to like these gigs when I'm living in the middle of nowhere, or like I want to like go onto these kind of sets. So it's cool to be able to like do all of that finally.
That's really cool. I'm excited to see where your career takes off.
Do you have any favorite moments from, I don't know, any fun anecdotes from being on set or anything like that that you'd like to share with us?
Obviously, as we're recording this, stand-up sketch show is airing, and it's on ITVX now, series 5. I worked on almost every episode. But yeah, that's the one that's been the most fresh in my mind recently. Again, like I mentioned, just such a tight-knit crew. Some of the comedians come up to you and they're like, oh, I don't think we've ever worked together before, and like properly introduce yourself. And it's like really lovely to like have that on a set, because like you're very rarely able to like have that experience with the talent you're working with on screen. A lot of the supporting actors who were in those sketches were hilarious to get to know. And it's just really funny to watch, because the premise of stand-up sketch show is the comedians record their stand-up and then they act it out, but they're mouthing the audio of the stand-up. So obviously we're not recording sound on set, we're just playing the audio of the stand-up on an iPad, and they're acting out in the sketch. So it's just interesting to see it as it's happening. Crazy voices coming out of like these unexpected characters. And because we're not recording sound, we don't have to worry about like if we're laughing in the background or not. So we're able to get like really immersed in what's going on. Obviously keeping it professional, but then sometimes you'll have like a comedian who's like throwing food into their face or doing these like really unique faces. And it's like great to get a laugh out of that as we're recording. And just again, a lovely, hilarious crew to be a part of.
I personally would like to hear more about the theatre play work that you've done as well. What was that like?
Yeah, that was a one-off, which I did literally on like, I'm pretty sure it was New Year's Day, or it was like the 2nd of January. And that was like, I think I must have got that gig like right before like the New Year. So it was a very quick turnaround to be a part of that. And it was filming this little like family stage show, The New Musketeers, which had some of the people from BBC's and West End's The Play That Goes Wrong series. And that was an interesting one to be a part of because I would go to the theatre quite a bit as a kid, see like Chocolate Brothers or Basil Brush or shows like that, pantomimes obviously as a kid. So it was interesting to do something like that, really.
It's quite an impressive CV and it's quite an impressive career and it's very exciting. All the work that you're doing in all of these different mediums of content. So I guess my next line of question would be what impact you're hoping your work will have within like the trans community and in general for yourself, for others?
I mean, I just hope it reaches the right audience. If it's a comedy show like stand-up, I hope it makes people laugh. And that it was like, I get a lot of compliments of people being like, oh, it's really lit in a unique way. And like, even on the camera side, most of my camera side work was just like helping set up the tripod or helping like change the lenses. But even like the recognition I've got of like, oh, these are like lovely lens choices. And obviously that's down to my amazing DP Nathan giving me that direction. But yeah, I just hope they find the right audiences, especially with the documentary work. When filming Trans Pride, some fans of Fox and them came up to them at their stall and were talking about how like, oh, your work basically like saved my life. I've been following you for years. Da, 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 da. So it's really cool, like just to be able to work on stuff that has that kind of impact on people and to be like part of that kind of team. So that's a really cool, special thing to like hear. And it's lovely to get those moments from people on camera.
I mean, you have, like Leo said, an impressive CV. And I know you just started like a couple of years ago. But, and I know your career is going to take off and you're going to do so many amazing things in other projects as well.
But I was wondering, at this point in your life, what advice would you give to other trans creators just starting out?
I've definitely found my transness, luckily, apart from like, obviously when you're approached with like a very trans-centric project, like a short film or like something with my generation, it obviously helps to have like that trans experience, but it's never been like the defining thing really of like, oh, we're going to have you on this short film because it's vaguely related to like trans issues and you're a trans person, so you're going to be on the set. No, all of my work has obviously been mostly like I've got it because people have looked at my CV and thought you've worked on interesting enough things, you have a good enough show reel, you could be on our project, which I'm grateful for because I don't want to be treated like different in that way. I've had like the odd production here and there. Luckily it's been so rare that it's happened, but I've had the odd production here and there be like, oh, I'm sorry, for religious reasons we can't have you on this project anymore, which is just a bit like, okay, sure, whatever you say. But obviously it stings, especially when like you're in a period where it's like maybe a slow period with your career. To have like a knockdown like that, I'd be like, your work's cool, but then we found out about this, we don't want you anymore. So yeah, it's a stinger, but like obviously like any creative, really try as much as you can, no matter where you're from, to hone your craft, take every opportunity you can. Because you never know where they're going to come from. Like when I was in Cumbria, the only like projects I worked on apart from like college short films for like passing my course was my first ever job actually was, it was for this Lakes Comic Art Festival in Cumbria. And David Silverman, one of the like co-creators of The Simpsons, directed The Simpsons movie, still very involved with The Simpsons, was there to play flamethrower tuba. And they were doing like this little like march through the town, playing tuba, marching band performance, playing those indie music in the pub. And that was my first thing to shoot. And it's like in such a tiny little community like Cumbria, things like that happening are so incredibly rare. And luckily now you're getting a bit more expansion into those areas with like the kind of work that comes there. There are programs in place where like more of the bigger production companies are looking to like the North and the Midlands to make their stuff. Like when I was growing up, you were having like no TV shows being made in Cumbria. And then Star Wars came and filmed a few shots there. And now you get like the A Word, you get Vera. When the day I left to go to film school, I had a meal with my nana in a cafe before I left. And then the next day, Colin Firth and Stanley Tucci filmed a movie in there. And they were sat in the exact spots we were sat in. And it's like one of the first scenes of that movie when it eventually came out. So that felt a bit like, I think at the time it felt like a bit like a bad omen because it was like, I just missed out on this like major opportunity. So yeah, you really have to like seek out whatever you can, no matter like what background you're from, and really just try to hone your craft as much as you can. Be able to like take those rejections if like you don't get like the email back or like you don't get that wall, especially if that person's going to come back and be like, we're not going to have you because of like these reasons, which should be incredibly rare because they're legally not allowed to do that. But
I agree with you very much on like the importance of building a career that it's like beyond your transness. Like you're doing these things because you want to be a camera operator. It doesn't have to do that much with being trans, but it's also important that you're in the industry as a trans person and taking up space and getting job opportunities. That is very huge because it's important as well to see people like us in these spaces. So good work.
Yeah, I'm lucky to be part of like a few initiatives. Like I'm part of Trans on Screen, which is a great directory page for trans people working in the industry. And I've been on like a few short films and I've been invited to a few networking events through them, which has been a pleasure. I recently went to a networking event of people who had been like trained in like working with trans crews, and then that was like followed up with like a networking event where I could meet these people. And like again, in that kind of environment, it was still very much focused on the like, what kind of work do you do, and not so much about my transness, which like as much as the representation is important, I'm always grateful when I'm not being like patronized down to or like not treated well enough because like, oh, you don't know it because you're different. So it's nice to be like on equal ground in whilst also still being like listened to in that kind of space. And like, especially because like from the countryside, not that used to like being in communication with like that bigger network. So I'm really grateful to opportunities like that in my own like personal way. So like I can connect to a community and also connect with people who are looking for people they don't normally represent, looking for those like people with no background in media, people who are trans, people of color, people from a low social economic background. It's really great to be part of like those kind of conversations and still be treated like an equal.
I love Trans on Screen. They're really cool.
Yeah. I'm also part of Trans Creative Collective as well, which I haven't quite worked with them yet, but I've met with them a few times and talked about different things and some stuff might be happening. So see how that goes. But they've been really lovely and they're lovely to me. They usually attend Brighton Trans Pride. I wore their merch to Abbey Road, which is quite cool because a lot of Trans Creative Collective is more focused in like music, but they also have like their film division, so that was like quite nice.
We're getting towards the end, so just gonna ask you very lighthearted questions now. Are you interested in any other creative practices or any hobbies at all?
I don't have much time for many hobbies now just because of like budgeting my life and like getting immersed in media work. It can be hard sometimes to like find those extra hobbies. But like when I was younger, I did Taekwondo, which is really great. I got a black belt. That was really fun. I'm always welcome there, which is really cool and nice, especially like after transitioning. I rarely get to go up and like do it. And around Brighton, there wasn't many options for doing Taekwondo, but it is really nice to be able to like see the people I trained with and like I've changed so much, like physically and mentally, but still be like able to go. Cause like when I did that Taekwondo as well, like they were pretty chill with like mixed gendered sparring and like self-defense and that. So it's never been like an issue in my life, or like when I did Taekwondo, when you get into like the issues with like trans people on sport and the debate around that. And like, I've been there, like I've been able to like I've sparred with like women who are like 30 years older than me, and it's never been an issue, and we're just like on like a mutual understanding, and like if we knock each other down, we get each other up. So like, it's never been an issue. Obviously it's a different story when you're getting into like actual competitive sparring, but I never did much of that anyway. It's not my area of interest. I was more interested in the patterns and like the self-defense stuff. So yeah, I did Taekwondo, and most of my hobbies now are just when I can go to concerts, a little bit of biking along the beach. Yeah, obviously I try to make time for as many activities as I can, but another thing to understand about the industry is sometimes you're doing like up to like 15, 16 hour days. So like you do have to like sacrifice a bit, but I've never once been like, it's not worth it.
Yeah, freelancing is like that. Sometimes you have a month with like 5-6 projects, and then sometimes you have bumps there.
Yeah, I've had like 2 months now where I've just been like on the odd short film, and it does get a bit like, ooh, when are things going to kick off again? But obviously I'm with the understanding of like when we're recording this, there's an actor strike and a writer's strike. So it's in the hope of like when it's resolved, it's going to be better circumstances for everyone.
Yeah. Are you doing, during those periods of like less work, do you do more stuff for yourself?
I try to, yeah, I try to. Mostly just like trailing around, going like on a nice big long walk or bike ride, or like try and find like discover something new in my surroundings. I like a journey every now and then to Seven Sisters. That's a really nice place to go to. I'll go to like the odd like exhibition when I can.
Yeah, it's really nice to focus on yourself as well. Yeah. This past year, I've taken on so many freelance projects that I'm like, I need to take some weekends off as well.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of a move right now. So I'm a bit like, my head is like flaring all over the place, being like, okay, I've got to make time for the people who want me for their projects, but also like move out of my house. So I've not had the craziest amount of time for personal hobbies at the moment. But yeah, we'll see what happens. It's a freelance industry. You never know what's going to happen.
It is, yeah. The last question that we always ask everyone, what other, and this could be like queer or not queer, forms of media, and that could be books, films, podcasts, video games, like anything that you would like to recommend to our audience?
Out of the Movies is a very good book about like the history of like mostly gay cinema, a little bit of trans cinema in there. That's a really good like resource to pull from and look from. But I also rarely read much, so never ask me for any other book recommendations because I won't have a clue. It's mostly like YouTube essays or like the odd article that most of my like information like that comes from. I should read more. I really should read more. Movies wise, I'll recommend Supernova because that filmed close to where I grew up. Like, it's a really nice little like gay film. Actually, no, scratch that. No, I'm not going to recommend that because there's a transphobe in the movie. It's a really good movie, but there's a transphobe in the movie. So I don't, I recommend it with a caveat.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us today. And I know it was like a long time that we've been planning this, and it's been really lovely to meet you. And yeah, I'm excited to see what you do in the future.
Likewise, very nice to meet you, and very excited about all the work that you're doing. And yeah, very thankful about you taking your time to talk to us, because it's just always good to have a little chat with other people that are doing similar stuff in the industry. And yeah, wishing you the best for all that's to come.
No, thank you for having me. It's been lovely.
I love this conversation with Jessica so much. We just want to thank her for joining us today. It's been a lovely pleasure.
Make sure to follow Jessica on social media to check out her work. Her links are on the episode description, and you can find more via our Instagram.
Thank you so much for listening to this incredible episode, and stay tuned for our following episode next month.